This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And just after 5 o'clock, even though Paramore is really the proper introduction here, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Today's top story, the Commanders are getting a lot of national attention. So let's bring in someone who discusses them on a national level, who happens to be the best friend of the show. Definitely the best friend who has a national platform, but best friend of the show, period. With us Wednesdays during football season, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Clinton Yates. What up?
Oh, that makes me feel good, Gregory. I will say one thing. For those of you out there who don't think that Ant does his job, I requested literally 4 minutes before this segment to get a third Paramore song into the rotation, and guess what? He did it. He knows what he's doing. That is what we call good work. How are you all today, gentlemen?
Doing well. Anthony, how do you feel?
I feel fantastic.
I said nice things about Clinton. He's feeling really good. Clint said nice things about you. So, Anthony, you have to say nice things about me now, or you can just wait until competition Wednesday at 5:30 and then make me really sad because of how poorly I picked games last week.
I think I'll wait for the latter.
Okay. Oh, well, screw you. All right.
Smart man.
Clinton, so you, when we were texting earlier to figure out what time you wanted to come on, you said you had some questions for me because all of a sudden on that around the horn rundown, Reality sends it out and is like, hey, this is what we're talking about today. The old burgundy and gold are sitting there as a topic of discussion. First of all, let me ask you, how surprised are you that we are here 4 games into this season?
I am not super surprised in the context of the rest of the division in terms of the NFC East never looked that good. And it was just a matter of whether or not the Commanders could sort of figure it out, toe the line, and go forward. I will say this, if you actually turn on your television right now, we're in a bit of a weird moment, you will see me talking about this exact topic. So I will ask you the same question that was asked of us, Gregory, but with a little bit of a twist, which is this. Is Davante Adams a person you would want on the burgundy and gold, or as Jim Zorn used to call it, the maroon and black, at this moment in terms of him getting out of town where he is and coming to Landover?
We obviously talked about this on the show yesterday, and
clearly.
It's interesting because, like, you have this, you know, it broke during the show. So you have this in the moment, and then you have the chance to read with some other people and also kind of sleep on it, think about it. I don't think I've moved that much from yesterday. I'd say my price has maybe changed a little bit. If you can get Davante Adams for not a lot of draft capital, aka if you can negotiate something better than whatever it is that they're telling Adam Schefter they want, I am interested in the idea of having Davante Adams here. And I think part of that speaks, and the part that I think is undersold and undersaid by a lot of fans who are like, no way, don't bring in the new guy to mess with the juju, yada, yada, is Jaden Daniels is the driver of the juju. Like, his ability to connect with everybody and to make people feel included, to build a good atmosphere is so far and away, like, not just beyond his years, but beyond the average NFL quarterback who's been around a long time, that I think that Jaden would make sure that Davante is, quote-unquote, in his place because he would make his place a place that Davante wants to be. And so if you're telling me I can get that talent and adjust this offense to take that next step with that kind of dude here, like, I think that's a pretty big deal. You have to figure out the money. You have to figure out the compensation. And those are not small things. But on a like, fundamental level, I'm interested. I just don't know once you get to those really important other things, a.k.a. the money and the draft compensation going back in the trade, that it be worth doing at the end of it.
Well, that's the whole issue, Craig, is that, do not, in my opinion, you do not blow draft capital and you do not go that crazy over this guy who is already sort of disgruntled to some degree just for the sake of accelerating the progress. The progress, in my opinion, of what this offense and therefore what this team has been with this quarterback is already accelerated and somewhat ahead of schedule. 40 burger on any team, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think anybody expected this team to put up that many points necessarily on competition at this early of the season. And so for me, I'm looking at that as, okay, Devontae's a ball player. Devontae's a guy that probably changes your offense if you already have a super good team. Do I necessarily know that the Commanders are a good team, or do I know that they are a team that can run their offense efficiently and a team that is maximizing their quarterback right now? As a result of that question that I asked in the latter, I'm not taking the risk on the human being as a result of what I want for the development to be. So think about it that way, Craig. Like, yo, are you, is the clock really accelerated that quickly as a result of simply the opening of the player, that being Adams, and, you know, a couple weeks / a month of this team being better on offense? I'm not sure that I agree with that. Look up his number on the contract next year. It's insane. You mentioned that, but for me, this is not a risk I take, and I don't think it's a crazy decision. I just don't look at that as something that I would necessarily want to do. But now we can talk about Jay.
But that's the thing, is like so the details matter so much here, because it's like, okay, if we take away all of that stuff, like, do I want Devontae Adams on my football team from just like a football and locker room standpoint? Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with it, because in part, again, like, Jaden and Devontae, by the way, know each other, because Jaden spent some time around the Raiders last year because of Antonio Pierce. And so, okay. I mean, that could work both ways, though. If Antonio Pierce is ready to punt on Devontae Adams, is Jaden like, that might tell me something? Like, that's stuff you got to figure out. But, like, I also trust Adam Peters on the human management side to have those answers. But the details matter a lot here on the contract side of it, because I think the reason you are willing to accelerate is you only get so long when a guy is on a rookie quarterback contract, and you can overpay other positions when you have that, because your quarterback costs 1/10, 1/20 of the top guys in the league. Jaden's making like 5-6 mil probably, and Dak just signed for literally 60. So, like, we're talking 1/10. I can afford a lot more, and if I can get an extra year of that, that's fine. And if I can get Devontae for 2 of those 5 years at big money, like, I can afford to do that. But there is limit, like, money's not fake. I will say his contract is one that can be restructured pretty easily. There's no guaranteed money on it moving forward. So for Wash, like, there's cap hits for Vegas because they have prorated signing bonus, and now we're getting into the nitty gritty of it all. But like, if you can figure out those details, again, I'm open to it. But I think, to your point, anything that sacrifices in any remotely large way the long-term build here and the idea that Adam Peters wants to build through the draft, because that is typically where you get your blue chip guys, like, I don't want to mess with that.
Do not fall for the banana in the tailpipe, please, Ashburnistan. Okay, I understand everything you're saying. But Adams being on the other side of 30 is my main concern here regarding what we're talking about as far as money is concerned. Let this kid develop. We've talked about this plenty of times, Craig. Let him decide who he wants to be. Now, if Jaden Daniels comes out and says, hey, go get Devontae Adams, I probably do it on the other side of that, if that makes sense. Now, do I think that kid has enough sort of franchise capital to do something like that? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm still with you. The way that this has happened over these 4 weeks, to me, is an indication that whatever the plan already was is working to some degree. Blowing it up might not be what bringing Devontae is. However, shifting sort of aside, taking the HOV lane, just because you kind of can, I don't necessarily know that I would do that in terms of the contract situation. So I say all this to say, Commanders fans, be happy. These are great options to have in the real world in terms of even thinking about this kind of thing, in terms of franchises that actual good players want to go to. This is not normal procedure for the Burgundy and Gold. I'm sorry, it's just not. And this is a great problem to have, which I commend. Frankly, I can't believe I'm saying this, did the Commanders front office for being in the position to even say.
Yeah, no, 100%. Clint Yates with us here on the Hoffman Show. I think this is going to be a destination for guys in future years. And that's, I think, in large part to Adam and his relationships around the league and his reputation. I think Dan's as a head coach, like, people underrated that at the beginning and very quickly, I think, learned, like, oh, that matters. And it matters in hiring coaches, but it also matters in recruiting players. When guys like Bobby Wagner sign, you're like, oh, crap, Bobby Wagner wanted to come here? Shoot. Sure. But I think to go back to the Jaden, like, Devontae part of this, this is actually, to me, like, the larger, more important point about Daniels is, one, I don't think he would go to a front office and say, go get Devontae, because he literally said today, I don't care what y'all say, I'm still a rookie. His humility is real. It's not a fake thing. And it's certainly very different than, I don't know, when Bob was here and he's like, I'm the star, or even
easy,
what Caleb's
easy, okay, but I hear you.
Or like Caleb right now, I don't think Caleb's like, hey, look at me, I'm the star, but like Chicago's like, hey, he's the star. And Jaden, they don't look at Jaden that way and put that on him, and Jaden doesn't look at himself that way. That said, if Devontae came, I think Jaden could handle that. Like, I think Jaden's leadership is so solid that I actually don't worry about Devontae Adams coming in. One, I don't think Devontae is like some terrible dude. I know obviously there's a little bit of diva there, and he's obviously asking for a trade, and that's never pretty, but I don't think Devontae is a bad dude. And to the extent that you have to deal with a diva receiver, I think Jaden is built for that and will be perfectly fine with it, which is actually more important than whether or not Devontae Adams comes here or not.
First of all, he prefers a trade. Let's get the nomenclature correct.
My bad. Prefers a trade.
Correct. Second of all, here's the thing, and I was talking to my man Ben Solak from ESPN on ESPN Daily. It's a podcast that I happen to host. How often is it, Craig?
Clinton, I do believe it's daily.
Thank you, sir. And what he said was, here's the deal with the Commanders' offense, and this is the question I have if somebody else comes into it at this point. In terms of the development, the Commanders throw more screens than any team in the league offensively. There's like a quarter of the percentage of what they throw. That's what he told me. If you bring a guy like Devontae in, and I'm not saying it can't make it better, but whatever the progression you were making playbook-wise was with Daniels, do you think that maybe there are, I don't want to say bigger issues to fix, but I don't want to think that one wide receiver is going to sort of solve all the other things that were already there that the offense was trying to work out to begin with, even if effective. Does that question make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I would say I would have two things in response to you / Solak, who's one of my favorite people to talk ball with because he's really freaking smart.
Love that.
But so one is the offense is evolving week over week in a borderline freakish way. And I'm not even sure which side of the border it's on. Like, it is stupid how quickly they are evolving. They did way more stuff from drop back last week, took out a ton of the screens. Like, the percentage came down in a significant way. Some of that's going to be week to week. Like, hey, we don't think the Cardinals pass rush is nearly as good. Now they got the Browns this week. I would assume they up that percentage again, but that's also good play calling to an extent. But I do think you're seeing an evolution in Daniels and this offense week over week already that is going towards something where a Devontae Adams skill set is more useful than if you were just running a bunch of screens. The other part of it,
I don't disagree. Go ahead.
Yeah.
My bad.
The other part of it, though, is, and this is kind of the funny part of talking about this in, what are we now, October? Oh my, Clint, did you know it's October?
Yes, I did. It's spooky season, Gregory. I stay on top of that. Come on now.
Also, it's baseball playoff season. Of course, you knew it was October.
That is spooky season.
It's the early middle part of football season. That's what my brain does. Anyway, the point is, we're in October, and Clinton, players aren't available. This isn't free agency. This isn't some of the other times in the calendar where you can acquire people. It's not even right at the trade deadline when there's maybe a couple of guys available. This is not a choice right now between Devontae Adams or a defensive end, Devontae Adams or a corner, Devontae Adams or whatever other things would probably be more useful if you have a pool of players to pick from. It's Devontae Adams or keep your powder dry and hope, or Devontae Adams or like hope for the trade deadline, or don't do anything and just ride it out the rest of the year. So it's not the same as like, hey, we're in the middle of March and we're trying to figure out who's our number one free agent target. It's, do we want Devontae Adams, binary yes or no? And if it's yes, then at what cost? And if no, like, why not? You know, what are you using, say, the cap space you have this year for? What are you using the draft capital for? And the answer very well could be to draft football players next April. And that is a perfectly fine answer. But it's not like there's three offers on the table right now for other positions and Devontae Adams.
No, and first of all, keep the powder dry is just a tremendous analogy on a lot of levels. But let me, Ben, I will pose the question to you. Do you think that the Commanders need Devontae Adams to win the NFC East? I would posit that they do not. And if you, you know, you use that as a data point on, again, the progression planned for this quarterback, well, then you don't throw something into the mix that's going to potentially jack up your salary cap situation just because you can do it. That's kind of where I am. This is working well. The train is moving along. Stopping at the local stops, maybe it can run an express train back into, you know, whatever. But, like, I'm just not messing with it. And I know that that sounds ridiculous to say because the NFL is a win-now, change-all-the-time league. But look at the rest of the division. You think this team is not going to beat the Browns? Do you think this team is going to beat the Browns, Greg?
I mean, yes, I do think they'll beat the Browns. I'm going to pick them on Friday.
So, I mean, I'm not going to go down the schedule with you. But my point is, if you had told us before the season, by us, I mean the listeners, that, hey, here's what this team is going to do this season, and here's what they're going to do by, dare I say, keeping their powder clean, you would have taken it if, let's just say, it, I don't know, extrapolates out to, at the very least, playing for the NFC East in the last couple weeks of the season. You'd have been fine with that. Taking the risk with a player who's past 30, who is clearly looking to go to a team that can win, I just don't think it's worth it. And I don't think it's a huge disaster if you take the risk. It's just not something I would do.
I think I ultimately agree with you. I don't think once you get into the details, it's nearly as damaging if you can avoid giving up a second round pick is a hard sell for me with Adam Peters as my
GM.
That's
what I'm saying.
I think Devontae's still great. Him being on the other side of 30 doesn't really bother me. If I'm looking at 1 to 2 years, they have the cap space. They have as much or more than cap space than basically every team in the league. Like, they have a quarterback on a rookie contract that is not due for an extension till as long as you can be due for one because he's a rookie. So it's not like you're 3 years into a rookie quarterback contract. So there's a lot of that stuff that actually doesn't worry me that much. And Devontae is, like, I think Terry's amazing and underrated. Like, I like Terry more than a lot of the really smart analysts out there. Like he's good, but he maybe not. Like, I think there's the top tier guys of Jefferson and Chase, and then, like, the next tier, whatever your tier is, like, Terry's in there. I think he's that good. But I think Devontae is in that top tier, and that is a game changer. And so you have, like, I have to think about it, but I think ultimately I land where you are. And I would actually, Clinton, to wrap us up here, I'd be curious, like, if this came up in the panel discussion, because I'm hosting a radio show as you guys are talking on television, so it's hard for me to consume both. Like, you look at what Houston's going through this year, and they're playing all right. But, like, the seamless integration of Joe Mixon, who obviously is hurt, and Stephon Diggs, it's not like you just add guys in and it works great, even when you have an offseason. I think the idea of building it from within and through the draft and making sure that every guy that comes through your building that you want to be a star is exactly what you want and you have hand-selected is important to how they're building this. And I trust that Adam Peters can do that because he did it once already as the assistant GM in San Francisco. And so I think that is, like, look, they obviously traded for McCaffrey, and, like, that was a huge deal for them, but he fit exactly what they want. I think Devontae's great. I don't know that he's exactly what they want here, which I think is why I ultimately, even though I have to think about it long and hard, unlike Ayuk, who wasn't really that hard to think about for me to say no, like, I agree with you that I wouldn't do it.
Let me say this lastly. This is a totally separate departure just because we have to show love to the late, great Dikembe Mutombo, who I first saw when I was 7 years old as a Georgetown Hoyas fan. This man was a humanitarian and a tremendous basketball player who has grown the game on a lot of levels. I'm sorry I'm switching gears. I just needed to say this for the market because for those of y'all who know about how the Hoyas roll and the man that John Thompson built and ultimately went on to become one of the greatest basketball shot blockers we've ever seen, he is my favorite Georgetown Hoyas center of all time, Dikembe Mutombo, and I wish that man to rest in power. What a guy. What a human. Hall of Famer at the game of life. Thank you, Gregory.
100% well said. Thank you for sharing that at the end. It's Clinton Yates, everybody. You can catch him on Around the Horn and ESPN Daily, which Clinton is available
daily.
We'll be right back on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming on YouTube at the Team 980, where you see behind me the wheel of mediocre punishment, which means one thing. Damn it! Your boy had a bad week. All right, Anthony, let's run through the picks. Just how bad was it? Because it wasn't like you had a good week.
No.
Nobody deserved to win. Both of us deserved to lose.
Yep.
Alas, somebody had to lose, and let's confirm that that was indeed me. My first game was Atlanta-New Orleans, and this one hurts, bro. The number was 2.5. Atlanta minus 2.5. They won 26-24. I lost it by a hook.
Oh, my gosh. Not the life you deserve, Craig.
Not the life I deserve.
Oh, my gosh. That's brutal.
What was your first game?
My first game was the Thursday night football game between Dallas and the New York Giants. And Dallas only won by 5, and I took Dallas by 6. So even if they did win by 6, it would have been a push. I don't think does that even count as a win? It doesn't count as anything, right?
No, that would be it would be a tie.
Oh.
So pushes or ties.
Well, yeah, I lost.
You lost. I'm going to be extra mad too, because I'm looking back at what I wrote down last week. God, so we're both 0-1. My second game, Pittsburgh, minus 1.5 at Indy. Basically just needed them to win.
Yep.
Nope. They had given up 10 points in a game all year, Anthony. How many did they give up to the Colts?
28, I think.
27, close 27. Enough. 27-24, the Colts won. That's Indy. That's not Pittsburgh minus 1.5. Nope.
No, it is not.
That's 0-2. That's 0-2 for your boy.
Good gracious, Craig. You're not doing too good.
No, I'm not. How'd you do in your second game, Anthony?
My second game, I took the Seahawks plus 3.5. And we know how that went.
Seahawks plus 3.5 didn't work out because they lost by 13.
Yeah.
42-29.
Yeah. Ugly it got, but, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. So I guess we're both 0-2.
We're both 0-2. And so, Anthony, what I had, if I look real close, I'm gonna even put this up to the camera right here. That right there, underneath that scribble, right? Mm. Underneath the scribble is Tennessee plus 1. That would have won and then some. Did I stick with that? No, I couldn't bring myself, even after I had written it down, to pick the Titans. So I scribbled it out like an idiot and picked the Rams plus 2.5. So if the Rams won, if they lost by a couple, we were fine. What happened? Bears 24, Rams 18. Matthew Stafford, dumb interception at the end. That possibly could have had a roughing the passer penalty. If they even could, I don't know, they probably wouldn't have kicked a field goal there. But if they get that thing, I don't know. I'm just mad. So, Anthony, that's 0-3 for your boy.
Oh,
hard to win when you don't win.
Ah.
How'd you do on your third game?
Third game, I took the Baltimore Ravens minus 2.5 because, you know, Josh Allen is still number, what number is he on my list? 5 or 4.
I don't know what
we
convinced you.
I think he's number 5. But
yeah,
he's the reason I took the Ravens minus 2.5. And then went out there and beat the brakes off those guys. So I finally got one. I went 1-2 on Competition Wednesday. And ironically enough, Craig, that was just enough.
You don't have to
just
beat
enough.
You don't have to beat anybody but your competition. And boy, did I make that easy for you. Well, Anthony, I guess this will make me feel better, because had I stuck with Tennessee, and I was also 1-2, just for good measure, just for kicks and giggles. We do head-to-head one game as a tiebreaker, just in case we get in a situation where we have a tie game. And I was like, you want to know what? After swearing, I will not take the Patriots again all year. I got my juice squeezed out of them. I got a couple of wins off New England in the first couple weeks. Then I got real greedy and took them on Thursday Night Football against the Jets at +6, and they got their brakes beaten off. And so I was like, let's not get cute with the Patriots again. I got cute with the Patriots.
Yep.
I said New England +10. They lost by 17.
Yeah.
So had I at least made this a game and stuck with my initial pick of Tennessee, I would have lost the tiebreaker.
Dang. At least you lost outright. So you don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to worry about it.
No, because honestly, like that, going 0-4 feels terrible. I'm still going to think about it. Just absolutely. I went 2-1 the first week, 2-0-1. And then we should track these records all year. Okay. And then I think I went 2-1 in week 3.
Yeah, we both went 2-1 in week 3.
Right. And then I went 0-3/0-1.
Let me put these on this my sheet.
Not great, Bob. Now, there is one point of contention though that we still have to figure out. You said you were going to check the tape on this. Did you get a chance to check the tape? I thought we just punted last week and said we're never going to have to deal with this again because we now have a tiebreaker system. You said, no, we agreed that this would be a double spin. Obviously, as the loser, I'm very invested in my position, but I'm also open to the fact that that might be wishful thinking from me. Did you pull the tape on that, Anthony?
I was not able to pull the tape just yet, just because there was just so much going on. In the break.
Here's what I'm going to say.
But it's okay. I'll be a good sport, Craig. I'll allow you to just spin the wheel just one time. Just because I didn't do my due diligence in going back and pulling the tape.
I was like, is there a way to split the difference here? Is there a way to... I don't know. We're going to make it one. It'll be okay.
Okay.
It'll be okay. All right. So... before we get to our picks next for next week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the first time.
Let me look closer.
I will spin this. Actually, let me bring this wheel closer. See if I can get it to where I can keep you on the screen.
Oh, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right. Come here, wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to go. This way. Okay. No, we're just gonna one-shot this.
Yeah.
All right. So make it so that folks can see. All right, here we go. We are spinning the wheel. That is a rickety wheel.
That was a bad spin.
You want me to go again?
What did you land on?
Yeah, I'm not telling you. You have to tell me. Do I might spin it again?
See. Yeah, spin it again.
Oh, it's a fantasy sub.
Ah. That's probably the easiest one on there.
I kind of want to keep the fantasy sub. I'm not going to lie.
You already asked if...
This spin doesn't count. I'm just seeing if I can... Okay. All right, here's a real spin. I was just making sure that it was clear of the chair.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Oh, no.
Oh, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
That's 100 push-ups.
Ah, that's brutal, man.
That's it's a lot of push-ups.
That is brutal, Mr. Craig Hoffman.
I am I wear athletic clothes to do this show like 70% of the time. Wore decent clothes today. This is like a nicer shirt. I don't have athletic shorts on. I still have Chipotle in my belly. Do I do the push-ups? Do I have to do the push-ups before 6 o'clock? Or you say next Wednesday?
It's two breaks, so I guess it would be before 6 o'clock because we're about to.
So I have to do them now.
We're about to go to a break, and then at the top of the hour we have another break.
All right. Well, I guess I'm about to do some push-ups. And I guess I got to try to knock out 50 in this break. Oh. Or do I have until the 6:15 break?
Okay, we'll give you a full 30 minutes.
That's like a full 30 minutes.
Okay.
Minus the, I still have to host a radio show, which seems like a relevant piece of information. All right, so I have 100 push-ups, and we're going to pick games next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. I'm trying to think. I can leave the stream up during the break, and I can see if I can angle a camera to wherever I'm going to do these push-ups. So if you're watching on YouTube, you might get to see me do some push-ups. But it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, and we're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Dang, my chest. I was 40 push-ups in the first break, Anthony. Knocked about 25 straight. I was like, ah, let me then just knock out like 8 more. Get to the 33. I was like, ah, I can keep going.
So quick, we knocked out pump.
Knocked out 40.
Yeah.
People on the stream can confirm that, or I miscounted, and I'm sure someone will let me know. But that was 40. So that's good. I have 60 more to go in the next 2 breaks. That is my punishment. However, probably more important than that for the folks listening, for the entertainment value, the next round of picks, Anthony. Time to make them. You're up first because you won. Congratulations.
Oh, I'm ready, baby. I'm ready. I'm ready to go, hopefully 3-0.
Okay, let's see what you got.
Here we go. Number one, I'm going with my boy and his guys. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts on the road in Jacksonville. They are
3-point dogs?
3-point dogs. They are 3-point dogs. So I'm going to take the Colts plus 3 to win in Jacksonville. Something an Indianapolis quarterback has not done since, I think it's like 2011. It's been a long time since they've gone down to Jacksonville and won a game. So I'm predicting these guys to at least cover, but hopefully win the game.
The Jags played well last week. Played better, I should say, last week.
I don't believe it.
That line also stinks, and I'm just like, are they really going to go 0-5? There's part of me that makes me want to actually say that's our head-to-head matchup, but I also don't want to root for Jacksonville, so that's going to stay away. I'm not going to touch that game. The game I'm going to go to first. Lot of stuff swirling about the Las Vegas Raiders right now, and they are 2.5-point dogs to Denver. Denver's not good. And so if you're telling me I get the Raiders plus points, and on a week where like they could be motivated to shut up some haters, that like that's kind of AP's specialty. I'm going to go Vegas plus 2.5 against Denver.
Okay. Now look, more power to you. I would steer clear of that game. But the Broncos, they've won 2 straight, right?
Yeah, they have. But like, look what they did last week. They won 10-9 in a poop storm in New York.
Yeah, defensively they were clicking.
Yeah, I just.
I'm staring away from them. I don't trust them. For my next game.
Yeah, I don't trust the Broncos. That's why I'm taking the Raiders. I don't trust them either. But
for my next game, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers minus 3. They are in L.A. But I just think the Rams, they don't have enough there. They're battered and bruised. They're beaten up. The Packers are a legit contender in my eyes. And I think also Jordan Love has to bounce back after his performance last week. They have something to prove out there.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Packers.
I don't mind that pick at all. I definitely don't mind it. God, am I going to change? I had something written down, and now I'm just like, screw it. Just go for it, Craig. I'm gonna take the Cowboys on the road at Pittsburgh. Look, they're 2.5-point dogs. It's Sunday Night Football. Dak has typically played pretty well on Sunday nights. Like, a couple of those like games where they've beaten the crap out of people are Sunday nights. I know that Titans off, or that that actually, the problem is the Steelers want to run the football and the Cowboys can't stop the run.
Yes.
But I'm like, I think Dallas can, if Indy can score 27 on Pittsburgh, what can Dallas do?
They got off to a hot start, though, Craig.
They did.
Because after that, they cooled off. Let me not change your mind. Let me not change your mind.
I don't love it. I know that much. But I also... This is why I don't gamble. I hate this. I hate doing this so much. Whose dumb idea was this?
I think you should start with a man in the mirror.
Oh, it was mine. We wanted to do something for Competition Wednesday because the Commanders do Competition Wednesdays at their practices.
Yes.
And now I'm stuck picking games because we can't, like, play pickup basketball or something in the middle of the show. I want to compete where I can control things. I don't want to pick other people competing. What are we doing? I hate that. Am I having a mental breakdown, an existential crisis on the show, Anthony?
I think so.
I think that might be the push-ups talking. You're right. That's a stupid pick.
Now you should take them.
Yeah, okay, fine. Dallas plus 2.5, Pittsburgh.
All right. Yeah, you actually took it.
The problem is I keep scrolling. I don't even know what my third game is yet because there's not any games I like better.
My third game, I was torn between these two.
Okay, well, hopefully one of them I like the other side, and that can be a tiebreaker.
Okay, I'll tell you. So one of the games is the Browns versus the Commanders. Commanders, 3-point.
Yeah, I thought about that one. I'm not touching the Browns. So if you want that, I guess you can pick it. But
and then
I'm not picking against you on that one.
And then the Bears versus the Panthers. Bears are -4 at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm torn between which game I really
want
to do.
You want the Bears -4?
I think the Bears are going to go out there and win. I don't think it's going to be a field goal game either. I think the defense is going to step up.
That's a nominee for we'll have to see if there's another game that we like to go head-to-head.
I bet.
But
so I'll take the Commanders then, -3
all right,
for my third game.
Are we allowed to take the same game? I don't want to put...
I think
I
we did
put,
that before, yeah.
I don't want to put that... like the same team. I don't know that I want to do that to the Commanders, but I really do think that they
Commanders,
will.
Commanders, -3, baby.
I would take Minnesota -2.5 against the Jets if it wasn't in London. That's the game that I like the most, but I'm not going to bet on London. That seems silly. And the other game, that's the problem. The other game I like is the Bucks +1.5 on Thursday Night Football, but Thursday Night Football is a nightmare.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
You just literally never know what you're going to get. The Bengals are starting to figure some things out, but it's tempting to take the Ravens -2.5. Dolphins-Patriots, the worst game that's ever existed in the whole history of the league. Bills-Texans, I want to take Buffalo -1. Actually, you want to know what? I'm going to ride my conviction on the Bills. Taking a road favorite feels kind of stupid, but And I say that out loud, and I'm like, there's no way. But I really don't know what else to do. I'm taking Buffalo -1 on the road at Houston because I don't think Houston has clicked so far. I think Buffalo is probably getting pretty ticked about how they played last week. I'm going to take the Bills for a bounce back.
Okay.
I hate all three of my picks.
I love mine. Mines are also all 3-point favorites and dogs, so that could be a little concerning because I might get some pushes.
You might. But also this is how it goes sometimes. And, watch me go 3-0 and you go 0-3. Cause that's why we don't gamble, kids. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes. For our tiebreaker game.
Tiebreaker. Are there any other games that you like?
I like the Bears.
You like the Bears. I would be Carolina +4.
Yeah. Outside of that, I would take the Ravens. Ah, that's a divisional game. I don't know.
Right. See, this is... Let's do Panthers-Bears. I'll take Carolina +4. I will be the bad team better. I will take Carolina +4.
Or do you want the Bengals? I'll take the Ravens.
No, because I was going to bet on the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
We're on the same side there. So I'll take Carolina +4 against Chicago and hope that Caleb Williams hasn't figured some stuff out and then Andy Dalton has. And that they can keep that thing close.
Well, it seems like DeAndre Swift, you know, figured out how
maybe
to run
he can
straight.
Forget he can forget.
Yeah.
Small sample size. All right. So that's that. We did it. Cool. Fantastic.
Man,
we picked games. I lose one time and now I'm a mess.
You don't know what to do.
I don't. Those are my picks. Vegas +2.5 against Denver. Dallas +2.5 against Pittsburgh. Buffalo -1 against Houston. And tiebreaker, I got Carolina +4 over Chicago. What do you got for the people to recap?
I got the Indianapolis Colts +3 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got the Packers -3 over the Rams.
Okay.
And then I have the Commanders -3 over the Browns. And I have Chicago -4 against the Panthers.
All right, so those are the picks. When we get back, first of all, I'm going to knock out. I might just do 15 push-ups every minute on the minute, and that would be the final 60.
Mm-hmm.
And that would knock him out. So I'm going to try to knock out all these push-ups in the break close out this week's docket for Competition Wednesday. Because I spun the wheel, 100 push-ups. Ouch. So we got that. And then we come back and I will just toss to sound bites because I'm going to have no, I'm just kidding. I will also give you astute analysis because that is my job. Pick six is next. You'll hear from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels as they both spoke today. We get you caught up on the top headlines. Final hour of the Hoffman Show remains here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.